You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Don't forget, they have to have good reason to overturn the official's decision. Here it comes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to After Further Review, the relatively new Packers podcast from myself. My name's Ross Uglum. I'm a writer at Cheesehead TV, and joining with me, as always, is Zach Jacobson. Zach, how are you doing on this Thursday afternoon?
I am absolutely baking in this Southern California weather, but I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, I'm going to be jealous of you soon enough. It's 70 degrees in the Fargo area now, but that'll pass soon enough. One reason for us to not be doing so well, I guess, would be what happened on Sunday. And we'll just do a quick dive into the news here. The Packers lost to the Vikings 17-14, had the ball with a chance to win late in the fourth quarter. Aaron Rodgers threw a late-game interception to Trey Waynes, who had been playing absolutely terribly all game long, and the Packers have dropped to 1-1. They also brought in C.J. Spiller for a visit, but have since signed Brian Price from the practice squad up to fill a defensive line spot, kind of a thin spot there. So that would lead you to believe that Spiller is not going to join the club, at least not at this point. Also, Clay Matthews, Latroy Guyon, Dayton Jones, Morgan Burnett didn't practice on Wednesday. I haven't seen a full injury report for Thursday's practice yet. And then Sam Shields, still on the protocol. I saw a specialist, but was able to work out on Monday, and that's a positive sign generally in the protocol. If something's real severe, they don't let you really do any physical exertion type stuff, so it's good to see that Shields was at least kind of up and at him. But yeah, let's dive into it here, Zach. Let's talk first of all briefly. I mean, it's been 4 days now since the Minnesota game. People downloading this are probably looking more for a Lions preview, so let's kind of zip through the Viking side of things here. Do you think this Packers run defense is for real? They absolutely dominated Minnesota's offensive line, dominated Adrian Peterson. This after a week where they beat up on T.J. Yeldon pretty well. For a team that's playing in a nickel defense more often than not, pretty impressive stuff in the run game, or do you think it's fool's gold?
Well, the way they shut down T.J. Yeldon, to the Jaguars' credit, they didn't have Chris Ivory, so that was a big step for the Packers, kind of, taking advantage of that. Really, I think they kind of asserted themselves against Adrian Peterson. You know, the common theme for that would be, at least amongst Vikings fans, would be the Vikings don't have that great of an offensive line. So, regardless, you hold AP to 19 yards. Like, regardless of when he got hurt at that late stage of the game, they held him to 19 yards, and that, they were flying all over the field against Minnesota. I think they're for real, and it's so ironic because that was originally what was thought as one of the weakest spots of this team, and so far they haven't disappointed. I think they're for real, and really right now they are probably the brightest spot on this roster.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think, another prevailing thought would be possibly that Adrian Peterson's washed up, 31 years old. If you look at his last nine games, they're pretty paltry. And I said this over and over, when it happens to big backs, it happens fast and it happens ugly. And, Vikings fans love to tell you that, well, it's not going to happen to Adrian. He's a different breed, and quite frankly, he proved to be a different breed when he came back from that ACL injury and almost broke the rushing record. But you just, Father Time is undefeated, especially against running backs, And I think you probably have seen the last of Adrian Peterson in a Vikings uniform. Actually not convinced that that's a bad thing for them. They can actually run the North Turner offense now. They can run it through Sam Bradford. Whatever your opinion is of Sam, is kind of, at this point, not something that matters. But what did you see on the other side of the ball? The defense held the Vikings to 17 points. If you would have told me that the defense gave up 17 points, I would have told you the Packers won by 10. They lost by 3. What happened?
Just a bruised and battered secondary. Demarius Randall tried to blanket Stephon Diggs all night long, and he failed miserably. He had what some would say the worst game of his career thus far. You know, he's only a second-year corner. You know, you put it into perspective, the Packers only have 3 active cornerbacks. And, you know, give or take Micah Hyde, he could also play cornerback, but, you know, that wasn't seen very much, at least outside of the slot. So, you know, Quentin Rollins and Ladarius Gunter behind Randall, that's really not a lot. And I was criticized for all offseason for saying the Packers had a thin secondary, you know, aside from their safeties. And I said it would take one injury to really expose that weakness. And we saw that in week 2. We saw that in Minnesota. It didn't take long at all. You know, there was a complete breakdown of communication, breakdown in, you know, I guess assignments. It was just a mess. And all the credit in the world to Stephon Diggs. He's going to be an incredible receiver, and, you know, at the professional level. And the Vikings really have a strong guy on their hands.
No question about that. I think you saw a little bit too. Capers, you talked about the communication part. Demarius Randall got beat. There's no question about it. Stephon Diggs outplayed him in that game. I don't think there's really any other case you can make. But I will say that, you know, there was times Capers said where Randall had outside leverage and Diggs ran an in-breaking route. And Randall was expecting safety help. And there isn't a corner in the league that's going to play outside leverage and be able to cover a post if the safety doesn't help. I mean, that's just basic football. What do you think happened to the Packers' offense, though, I guess was more my question. Why did they only score 14 points?
I think they were trying to get into a rhythm, trying to incorporate the run game, at least somewhat. And that was probably their biggest flaw. Some may argue it was just Aaron Rodgers having an off night, which he was. He was 20 of 36, I believe. That late game interception to Trey Waynes, who, as you mentioned, was struggling all game. It was really a lack of the running game, because when that gets going, when Eddie Lacy gets going, and you get that duo, that little tandem of James Starks and Lacy, everything opens up. And, you know, we saw that last year in against Dallas, when Mike McCarthy took back the play calling. They finally got... They implemented more pistol formation into the offense, and Eddie Lacy got going. James Starks got going. I believe they rushed for like around 230 yards combined in that game. The passing game was going as well. It was flowing, and even without Jordy Nelson. I think right now what we're seeing is kind of a hangover from last season combined with the fact the Packers typically start off slow at the beginning of the season, and that's creating just widespread panic.
No question about it. I think you hit the nail on the head. At least partially with the run game, seemed to be working. Eddie Lacy kind of always seems to mash on the Vikings, and of late, Aaron Rodgers has really struggled against Minnesota. I want to talk briefly about the Vikings kind of long-term. They are the defending division champions, as little as that really matters in the scheme of things, whether you're a Packers fan or not. Green Bay, Wisconsin is not a place where division championship banners are hung, but do you feel like, you know, without, obviously, the division championship, there's not going to be home playoff games in Green Bay. So are you concerned long-term with the Vikings based on what you saw on Sunday, or now that they've lost Peterson and Khalil for the season, they're obviously without Teddy Bridgewater? I mean, Sam Bradford looked good, but let's not forget how bad he's been since he came into the league. You know, slightly below average at best. I don't remember a real banner season from Bradford really any time. In fact, Green Bay specifically has had success against Bradford, both during his stint as a Ram and as an Eagle. Does this team concern you long-term, or was this a team, amped up in a new building, at home, who won by three and had a chance to lose the game at the end, that doesn't worry you that much?
I do think they're going to be concerned long term. They have a great foundation. They have a defense that's really on the rise, and you know Mike Zimmer has Aaron Rodgers figured out to go with my aforementioned point about the offense. Mike Zimmer has Aaron Rodgers' number, and we don't know how long if Aaron Rodgers will find a way around that. But you know they have a solid defense. Sam Bradford, he's not going to be the long term answer in Minnesota. I highly doubt it. I mean, you would assume so considering what they gave up for him. But, you know, whatever answer they go up after Adrian Peterson when he leaves, like you said, it could be his last time we see him in a Vikings uniform. But they're definitely a concern long term. I don't see the Bears stepping up anytime soon. I don't see the Lions stepping up anytime soon. If anything, those two teams are on the decline. But you know, and if the Packers still can't squeak out a division win this year, a division title, excuse me, I'm not concerned with having them go on the road in the playoffs. They've done it before, and I've learned not to doubt, you know, Mike McCarthy. I've learned not to doubt Ted Thompson or Aaron Rodgers and that trio. I've learned my lesson.
And I think that they are definitely the second, you know, if you think the Packers have the brightest future with the youth of their core, with the youth of, you know, how many guys that they have, always the second or third youngest team in pro football. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Minnesota does have pieces. I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Bradford and Bridgewater. It'll be interesting to see, honestly, if Bridgewater is able to resume his NFL career. But for this season, I became a lot less concerned about the Vikings. I think, you know, you said that that Zimmer has Rodgers' number. Well, there have been a lot of Rodgers games early on in the Zimmer era where he absolutely lit the Vikings on fire. This might be a trend. It also might be a small sample size. At the same time, the Vikings are going to have to beat other football teams. That's the thing. They're going to have to win more. Not only are they going to have to win the game, more than likely, in Lambeau Field in Week 16, but they're also going to have to win more games than the Packers, and that's what I think the problem is going to lie for them. Without Khalil, they are probably in a state of complete disrepair on the offensive line right now, but are to the point because of Rick Spielman and the way that he structures rosters and continually trades up to get into the first round and eschews those mid-round picks. Rick Spielman creates these top-heavy rosters that are very thin, and I think they're one injury on the offensive line from basic train wreck status. And that defense, while it is very good, would need to be basically Super Bowl caliber to rescue an offense with that offensive line and Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata, and Sam Bradford, because you're going to get to a point where they're going to double Stephon Diggs. And while I think Stephon Diggs is a very, very good player, I don't think he's the Antonio Brown-style player that can beat a double team consistently. And Laquon Treadwell has shown that he has shown nothing so far. You know, Charles Johnson, as fun as it was to have him play really well right away, has struggled since. They aren't even having Jarius Wright be active at this point. They're a team without a lot of offensive weapons, and that defense is going to not only have to stay healthy, but carry that football team. And I think that the Vikings, with these injuries, are probably only going to win 7 or 8 more games, probably only going to be 9-7 or 10-6, and man, you would hope that the Packers can eclipse that number. So those are my thoughts on the Vikings, I guess, for the rest of this season, as beat up as they are. You see Packers teams get beat up like this, but that's where the depth of the roster that a Ted Thompson GM provides always gets Green Bay to at least 10 wins. And that's what happened last season amongst all the, you know, all the injuries, the Jordy Nelson, the offensive line reshufflings, et cetera, et cetera. Aaron Rodgers and Ted Thompson kind of make it so that the Packers can win 10 games. I'm not sure that Minnesota's that kind of program. Let's dive into some deeper film review here. Zach, what the hell is wrong with Aaron Rodgers?
I would say his fundamentals are off. Despite what he said in the post-practice presser yesterday and in his interviews, his fundamentals are fine, apparently. And I guess he was an all-team fundamental champion. Whatever joke he tried making to cease the room's panic, he relies on extending plays too much. And I think, you know, over the years we've praised that about him. We have praised his ability to extend plays and roll out of the pocket and give his guys time to get open. Well, it's starting to look like now he's extending plays when he doesn't have to. Don't extend plays if you're comfortable in the pocket. I mean, he could probably be a little jittery in the pocket. I mean, he's lost Josh Sitton. He's been playing with him for the last 7-8 seasons. I mean, that I get that. But at some point, you stop, you know, throwing without getting your feet set. You just, you line up, you get your feet planted, and you just throw the same darts that Aaron Rodgers would typically hit in his sleep, you know, a few years ago. There was a little dump-off pass to Jared Cook, I believe, in the flat, and he completely missed him because he was thrown off his back foot. It was off target. Cook had to lay out for it, and it was dropped. No disrespect to Cook. It was a poorly thrown football. I just think his fundamentals are completely off. I don't know if he needs to get some extra coaching, some extra, you know, pointers. It's weird to say that Aaron Rodgers needs outside coaching, or at least a little more outside coaching. It's really weird. It kind of makes you think he's broken or something, but he's not broken. He's still Aaron Rodgers. I think they'll get it right this week, but you know, it's a really strange phenomenon to see with him.
Yeah, I don't like it. The frequency with which he's throwing off his back foot. I don't like his lasering in on Adams, Cobb, and Nelson. And I don't like him extending plays when the plays don't need to be extended. I don't know if something happened where he's rattled or what's going on, but I really need to start seeing three-step drop throw, five-step drop throw, and then they can get into the longer seven-step drop, play-action pass, things like that, shotgun set throw. It seems like the only route that he wants to throw on normal timing is that comeback route, which is fine, but if they don't start developing the vertical game, that comeback route is going to be sat on. And when opposing defenses sit on comeback routes, they become pick sixes. And I know that Aaron Rodgers has this ridiculous NFL record for lack of pick sixes. Even his interceptions are almost never returned for touchdowns. But I can promise you what an interception on a deep comeback route looks like. And it's the other team in the end zone. And there's really no question about it. I think, though, that these problems are fixable. I'm not convinced that there's anything physically wrong with Aaron Rodgers, which, of course, has been a concern. And really, if you have hope for this season, it's based on the fact that the Packers appear to finally have a championship-level defense, and they just need to get back to having a markedly above-average offense.
Exactly what I've been saying. They put those two together. This is back to being a Super Bowl team. Right now, they're looking like they won't even make the playoffs or just a wild card exit. You know, one or the two.
Right, and you know, this exact same personnel grouping led the league in scoring 2 years ago. So to ask this group to get their shit together and just be the ninth best offense in the league is not asking that much, in my opinion.
It's not at all.
So let's dive into this Lions game then. Found out a little bit of information on the Lions. They're beat up too. It seems like everybody's beat up. And it's only been, you know, 2 weeks of the season. But Amir Abdullah out for the season. That's a big blow to a Packers team that hasn't really had to show yet that they can deal with receiving backs. But that's what makes me want to talk about this now is Theo Riddick. He is slowly developing into one of the best receiving backs in the league. One of the other best receiving backs in the league, Danny Woodhead, just went out for the season. But Theo Riddick, this is a guy that is in that David Johnson, Darren Sproles type mold. And we've seen pretty decent play from Ryan and Martinez, or Blake and Jake, however you want to go with it. But do you think that the linebackers and safeties have a new challenge, I guess, here with Theo Riddick?
I think there's going to be a little heavier of a reliance on Theo Riddick now, especially taking over for Abdullah. The Lions, Calvin Johnson-less Lions, they have Golden Tate and what's that other guy's name? Marvin Jones?
Yep. Anquan
Boldin, another threat that they added. Still a threat, even in his veteran years. I definitely think, you know, you look at this, and you see, oh, the Packers are facing another injured running back, you know, another team without their starting running back. And I don't think Theo Riddick is that much of a downgrade from Amir Abdullah. Because, like you said, he is a very good receiving back. He can do what's asked of him, essentially. And I think the Packers recognize that. They do have a tough challenge ahead of them. I don't think they'll be able to contain him as well as they have done to the last two running backs they've faced. But, you know, at least, you know, kind of blanking him down the field, whichever, you know, running to the sideline on these out routes, on, you know, catching passes, screens out of the backfield. The Packers defense so far has shown that they have phenomenal closing speed through these first two games. At least the front seven has. So I think that's going to be a big task for the front seven this week.
No question about it. I think that that's one of the main things that you have to look at. I don't think that Detroit with Jim Bob Cooter is really even going to try to run the ball. So do you think this secondary without Calvin, you know, without having to deal with Calvin Johnson for the first time in what seems like 20 years, do you think they can hold up without Sam Shields? I would say at this point it seems unlikely that Sam will play, especially considering the bye week, and that he would be, you know, given that extra week to recover and come in and play in week five, you know, if he is allowed to sit against Detroit. Do you think that the Gunter, Rollins, Randall secondary can hold up with there being, you know, no player of Diggs' quality, I guess, on the Detroit passing game?
Absolutely not. You know, I can get ripped for that. You know, it is what it is. This secondary has not shown me anything that leads me to believe that they'll be able to limit the Lions' passing attack, especially Matthew Stafford, who is essentially known for airing it out. You know, I don't see anything right now in this secondary that can help these guys stop the Lions' passing attack. And like you said, they probably won't run the ball that much, especially against this Packers front seven. So expect Matthew Stafford to air it out. I'm not calling a 300-yard game. At least, you know, I hope I don't have to, but I don't see them really holding up so well.
No, I mean, I don't think they're going to hold up in the sense of, like, traditional what you would say about a pass defense when you look at the numbers. But if you take this Packers run defense, add it to the fact that Detroit probably can't run the ball anyway, I just think that they're going to have to throw it quite a bit. With that said, you know, this certainly could turn into a shootout. And in that case, the Packers offense is going to have to answer a bell it hasn't answered in a long time. For that Packers offense, how big is the lack of Ziggy Ansah?
I think it's huge. You know, if you rule in the fact Lane Taylor's starting at left guard, you know, Ziggy Ansah won't be really rushing much because he's not going to be there. So it takes a huge load off not just the Packers offensive line, but Aaron Rodgers as well, who, like you mentioned earlier, he's seen it somewhat skittish. You know, he's seen ghosts everywhere. He's tripping out in the pocket, and hopefully that kind of prevents him from rolling out and extending these plays when they don't have to be extended. It's a pretty big task, and hopefully it's another it's another stepping stone for the running game they could possibly get going this week. Because I know Mike McCarthy said he wanted to run the ball more, so hopefully we see more of that implemented in the game plan this week.
So do you think that the Packers can find its feet against, I mean, I know it's only two weeks that we've got this data, but Football Outsiders DVOA has Detroit ranked 27th defensively. For comparison's purpose, Minnesota's ranked third in defensive DVOA. is this a week that the Packers can find their way, or are there systematic problems that aren't going to be solved by somebody else having a bad defense?
I will say, if the Packers wanted to get their aerial attack going again and getting things back to the way they used to be, this would be the week to do it. After that wake-up call Sunday night, this would be the week to take advantage of their opponent, get their feet under them, get their momentum going, because, you know, they're going into the bye week, they'll be able to work on whatever game plan they have, kind of, you know, round it out a bit more. So, you know, it is a big drop-off in defensive ranking. I mean, that's 24 spots, but, you know, it's more of like I said, momentum kind of thing. You know, if they can get something going this week, they will implement that more into their game plan, kind of use it in week 5 when they come back from their bye week. You know, it's just a matter of staying consistent with what works.
I mean, consistent with what works, I think they need to find what works. Unfortunately, I think, you know, they might need to operate out of something besides 11 personnel. They might need to utilize Trevor Davis, Ty Montgomery, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if that means bringing in C.J. Spiller. It probably doesn't. But I think they need to find a way to utilize Aberderis, get these guys doing things that they do well, that Adams, Cobb, Nelson offense, no huddle, hurry up basically worked in 2014. But until Nelson can prove that he is the vertical threat that he used to be, and these teams stop playing press coverage against the 11 personnel, Green Bay's going to have to find out some other way to score and score more consistently. They have to get points on the board. I think it would make this defense even better playing from ahead. So I just think they need to find a way this week. If they can't, Zach, are you going to panic?
I will panic briefly after the game. But then Monday morning, I'll come back down to earth and realize there's a bye week coming up. The Packers have gone 1-2 to start the season before. Really, I believe 3 of the last 4 years. They'll look to fix their adjustments, make the adjustments. And earlier about what I said, what I mean about making it work, by finding what needs to work, that's what I mean. If they get something going this week against Detroit, that would really kind of give them the bye week to work on that, round that out. You know, if they find something to work. Right now, they don't have anything that works. You and I can both agree on that. The offense is as stagnant as it was at the end of last season. But to answer your question, I will panic at first, but eventually kind of regain myself, regain composure. They have a bye week coming up, and I think the season will change its tune around midway through. That is, if they struggle against Detroit.
I mean, I think I would regular panic. I think this Detroit offense this Detroit defense is bad. They're missing playmakers. You know, not only just from a how they built the team perspective, but injury perspective as well. I think the Packers put some pretty obvious bad stuff on film against Minnesota, and because of that, should be actively trying to change or refine what they're doing. And if they don't do that, I mean, I'm going to be worried. There's really no way around it. The last thing I guess I'll ask you then, Zach, is what would be your game prediction for this Sunday?
I said a couple days ago, I had a prediction that really seems kind of what you'd expect from a Packer fan. I predicted that the Packers find their footing this week. Aaron Rodgers has a big game. Silences his critics. That's what I would like to happen. Will it happen? I'm not so sure. But I am calling a 31-10 Packers win. I think the offense gets going, at least briefly. They'll probably start the game slow in typical Packer fashion. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers just seemed fired up this week. At least yesterday in his post-practice interview, he seemed fired up. I'm hoping it wasn't an aggravated fired up, which, I mean, would be understandable because those reporters ask the same redundant questions over and over again. I mean, I can't blame him for being a little upset, but I'm hoping he turns that the aggravation into a fire that can't be blown out on the field, because the Packers need that desperately right now.
I hope you're right. I mean, I was really worried about this game until I saw Rodgers tweak at his locker. I think pissed off Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time, frankly. I've seen him do things, especially after John Abraham put the belt on in 2010. What he did to the Atlanta Falcons after that happened was nothing short of criminal. And if this is finally what has, you know, woken up the dragon, then good. If not, I'm worried. I mean, I'm so worried. I think that that Lions offense is a little bit too much to only give up 10, but this has to be the week that Green Bay finally gets into the 30s on offense. I'm going to say 34-24 Packers, and if that's not the way that it goes, I think it's really time to be scared. I want to thank you guys for listening. As Zach and I kind of work out the case on this brand new show, subscribe, please, of course, to the Packers Talk Network, and give our network a review. We prefer those with 5 stars, but giving us a review and subscribing to us helps us show up higher on the list when people search for Aaron Rodgers on iTunes or search for the Packers on iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. You can follow our show on Twitter as well at PTN_AFR. You can follow me. I am at Ross Uglum. You can follow Zach. Zach, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at ZACHAJACOBSON, Zach A. Jacobson.
You can find my work and the work of other talented writers on PackersTalk.com, and you can also, of course, find the work of Ross Uglum and Zach Jacobson on www.cheeseheadtv.com. Thanks, everybody, one more time, and go, Pack, go.